RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors, Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion, best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen, Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
Welcome back. Flavor. This is Ian Beckles and Flavor in Your Ear. I appreciate you guys listening. From the numbers that other people are able to compute, my people from Radio Influence, people are actually listening, which is a wonderful thing. So I appreciate you guys listening, guys and gals. And, you know, we keep it loose, and we usually hang out in a cool spot in the area. And I happen to be the mayor of South Tampa, so I like to keep it here for the most part. And I'm in one of my favorite little shops right on Howard, called Chef Inspired Popcorn. My girl Lizette and Danny opened it up a few months ago, and I actually went to see them at their other location, which was all the way on the other side of Hillsboro. So I do actually drive around a little bit. A lot of people don't think I go anywhere. Trust me, I drive a lot from Plant City to St. Pete and even the other side of Hillsboro. So Chef Inspired Popcorn, a new entity in the area that's doing big things, and I'm here all the time. They have Dignitary Popcorn here, which I help create with my Dignitary Spice. It happens to be my favorite popcorn. I might be a little biased. But they also have stuff like Jalapeno Ranch Popcorn, Double Fudge Brownie. I know my guy, Eric Young's over there from Voodoo Chef has one, Dirt Pop, Hot Banana Love Popcorn, which is almost sexual. It really is good. So if you're a popcorn person, and I don't know if I know anybody doesn't like popcorn. You know, I don't know if you're supposed to trust anybody that doesn't like popcorn. It's popcorn, you know? So it's delicious. Chef-inspired popcorn here on Howard Avenue. So last week, like I said, people were listening. The ratings were unbelievable. They came in and they were unbelievable. So, you know, I guess people like sports talk, and that's kind of where I came from. So I'm always going to dabble a little bit into sports, but I got to talk a little bit about my guy Donald Trump, who is interesting as all hell. I'm enjoying it. Okay, they keep on saying the first 100 days seem like just right around a year. Because he's going to do, like Obama was, it seemed like he was almost silent for 8 years. Like what happened in Obama tenure where people said, oh my God, did you see what Obama did? What happened other than Obamacare, which by the way, Trump's going to omit because he doesn't want Obama's name anywhere and he wants to put his name on something, whether it makes sense or not. But when did Obama do something where everybody said, oh my God, did you hear what Obama said? Obama never said anything cross in 8 years. And Donald Trump is pissing everybody. Like, he goes after anybody and everybody. Doesn't matter. You can be a whole station. You can be Snoop Dogg. You can be a civil rights leader. He doesn't care. And he's going to dog you out, too, on the way out. So I have to definitely have to talk a little bit of government stuff as we go out as well. So the Buccaneers made some noise in free agency. I talked to Mark Cook last week. PewReport.com, and I thought we had a wonderful conversation about, you know, the future of this team, and all this stuff was brand new. And when I was really thinking about the Buccaneers and their upcoming season, and people that have listened to me for years on 620 with Ron and the Ron and Ian show, you know, I'm cynical. I think I would sway more to the pessimistic side than the optimistic side. Or I like to say I'm realistic. You have to prove to me what you're going to do normally. Considering what I saw last year from the Buccaneers and what their record ended up being and the caliber of teams that they beat last year, despite not doing some things well, they filled in a lot of key positions with players that we know can play, okay? If you draft somebody in the first, second, third, 12th, I don't care what round it is, you have absolutely no idea what type of NFL football player they're going to be. We brought in some people in free agency that we know DeSean Jackson can play. We know he's going to make people better. We know that defensive end, Baker, we know he can rush because that's what he does. You put on his film, he's playing against NFL players, he's kicking some ass. That's what I want to see. So I'm going to say right now, I'm looking for the Buccaneers to make the playoffs this year. If they don't, I think they should all be disappointed and sick to their stomachs. Last year, you know what? It wasn't their time yet. I don't think anybody as a Buccaneer fan thought that the Buccaneers before the season were a playoff team. So you have to look at their season, 9-7, and say, hey, you know, that's not a terrible football season. Considering they had quite a few injuries, which a lot of teams do, you know, considering they didn't rush the passer all that well, and, you know, they still have a very young quarterback, and they were still winning games. So they have some pieces in place, and with a couple of different acquisitions that they brought in, I'm seeing the Buccaneers going to playoffs this year. Another thing that was great last year, and as Buccaneer fans, I think we all understand that, along with a lack of success that a lot of us have gone through. I went through it 7 years playing. I'm a Buccaneer fan. And look, if you go back to the Buccaneer history, there's not that many successful years, unfortunately. There just isn't, okay? Because pre-Tony Dungy, there was, I think, two successful years. And that was 96, okay? Tony Dungy had a string. John Gruden came in here for 1 year, won a Super Bowl, had one successful year after that. And other than that, the rest of it's wash. And that's a lot of different years, okay? But I'm telling you, there's something about this team that I say it's a very good possibility this turns out to be a good football team. And Dirk Cutter, unlike a lot of the other regimes, doesn't have a lot of, you know, shenanigans and tomfoolery going on. You don't hear people divided on the team. We heard it a little bit with Lovie Smith. We heard it with really all of our coaches other than Tony Dungy. Okay, Dirk Cutter seems like he has that locker room. He seems like he has players believing in his system. And, you know, that's half the battle sometimes. So for once, I'm going into the Buccaneers season, you know, optimistic that they're going to get things done this year. Now, I've been wrong before, and football is a funny sport where you mess around and lose the first two games, and all of a sudden you're looking at, I can be 4-12. That's how funny football can be. You know, if you're a good baseball team, you'll find your way to hit your way out of things. It's hard in football because there's a team on the other side that one game is pretty darn important. You know, when you talk about baseball and somewhat hockey, the games aren't quite as important. That's because of the number, obviously. Now, hockey-wise, we're getting into the nitty-gritty now where our Lightning all of a sudden realize that they're a pretty darn good hockey team, and we're getting the goaltending. Vasilevsky so far, and usually when you change your roles, okay, with Bishop leaving and Vasilevsky becoming the man, usually when you change a role like that, sometimes the pressure gets to an athlete. Vasilevsky's risen to the occasion so far. Still early, though. Okay, things do change. But right now, the Lightning look like a good hockey team. I went to see them about last week, and they're outplaying other teams, okay? They went to overtime last game, and I thought they grossly outplayed the opponent. So they're playing good hockey, and they're in it if it starts now. And they have a better road going down the way than a lot of the other teams that they'll be competing against. So things look wonderful for the Lightning because I don't care who the number one seed is. I don't care who the number two seed is in the NHL. Once you get to that playoff hockey, it doesn't matter anymore. Like football, you see the best team against the worst team, and the worst team has a tough time in the playoffs, not in hockey. In hockey, especially if it's the Lightning, nobody want to play the Lightning in a seven-game series because Lightning have enough talent, enough firepower, and a coach with a good enough pedigree to this point to beat anybody in a series. And there's no real powerhouses out there in the NHL anymore like they used to be. Nobody's unbeatable. So things are looking good with the Bucks. Things are looking good with our Lightning right now. And then I'm going to start talking about the Rays. So if you think I'm the candy coating type of, you know, everything is sweet, it ain't going to be that sweet when I talk about the Rays. Because the Rays, we saw them at the beginning when they were the Devil Rays. And what changed this organization was Joe Madden, period. And when Joe Madden was let go for idiotic reasons, incompetency, really. When he was let go, or he walked away, he wasn't fired, he walked away. that might have been the end of it, unfortunately, because a lot of people want to say that Joe Maddon wasn't a big deal and he wasn't responsible for this and that. Joe Maddon got a whole lot out of a whole little. To have payrolls that low and to be competing every single year for a playoff position, every year other than the first couple years, Joe Maddon, we were talking about the playoffs, every year. And we've taken a step back every single year since he's left. Last year, they were abysmal. I mean, I watched the first couple weeks, maybe into the first month of baseball, and I was like, first of all, this is bad baseball, okay? It's bad to watch. Defensively ain't that good. They're not that fun to watch offensively. Other than Kevin Kiermaier, eh. Like Forsyth, too, he's gone. So I'm not quite sure what the Rays are trying to get accomplished. I don't know if they're just kind of getting the payroll down to start, you know, selling this team. That's a possibility. But it sure doesn't look like they're trying to win anymore. And the one guy we have who's worth a darn is Evan Longoria, who I've been critical of in the past, but last year had a really good baseball season. So when he comes out there and he's pissed when players are released or traded, I'm pissed too, because I think he's in a situation where, you know, he's in his career where he's not going to play forever. You know, he'll play 4 or 5 more years, maybe more than that, I don't know, but you can't anticipate that. But the kid's going to want to play some, you know, competitive baseball before his career is over, obviously. And when you look at your team that won, I want to say 68 games last year, something in that vicinity, and then you start giving away players, I don't know if anybody can tell me we got better in the offseason. I think we got worse. I really do. So I would keep a good eye on the Rays this year. I don't know if Evan Longoria even finishes the season as a Ray. I really don't. I just think he's fed up. And I didn't hear it come from his mouth. It's probably more of a body language thing, and people just get tired of losing. And Kevin Cash, if the first quarter of this season goes like last season did, it might be time to get rid of Kevin Cash. It's time. I mean, nothing has been good to this point. Do the players like him? Sure. But the players are tired of losing. So I think it's going to be critical that this baseball team start off fast, but I don't see it. And this team was supposed to be built around pitching. We've got rid of our pitching. We've got rid of every good player that we had that makes any type of money. And I don't even know our starting rotation anymore. I mean, it keeps on changing. Used to know exactly who our first starting five were. Used to know exactly who our closer was. And it's not that anymore. I don't think it's just because I've fallen off as a Rays fan. I just don't think that – I don't hear anybody talking about the Rays. Nobody at any time. So – the Tampa Bay area has the worst attendance the last forever that I remember. Now, and people were actually talking about the Rays a little bit when Joe Maddon was here. By the way, Joe did get a World Series last year, and congratulations, Joe. That's my guy. People haven't talked about the Rays in a long, long time. And I know when people aren't talking about the Rays, they sure enough are not going to go over that bridge to watch that baseball. Okay, because first of all, it's not that damn entertaining, and the sport in general is not that damn entertaining anymore. So to go into a stadium that's kind of sterile with nobody there, I don't know if that's going to be a good year for the Rays. I just got a funny feeling in the next 12 months or so, the Rays are going to flop one way or the other. Either they're going to say they're staying, or they're going to say that they're going to be out of here, or something drastic is going to happen with the Rays. I don't know what it's going to be, but, you know, that's... something drastic is going to happen with this Rays team. I think something drastic has to happen because since Joe Maddon's left, it hasn't been pretty at all. So let me swing a little bit to some government stuff. And later on, we're going to be bringing in my boy, DJ Don Pablo. I've been messing around with some DJing work, and he's been helping me out, which is real cool because most DJs won't teach you their craft because they don't want you to steal their gig. But DJ Don Pablo's been cool. I've been DJing a little bit, enjoying it. I'm not quite a DJ yet. I'm just kind of somebody that plays music, and that's it. So we're going to talk a little music on the back end. But I'm going to talk a little government as well because I just think it's fun. Maybe I'll talk a little government with DJ Don Pablo as well. But with this whole thing going on with the band and, our boy Trump trying to keep everybody out, it's crazy what's going on now. It's making our country more divided, which is scary. Because during the election, it was pretty damn divided, okay? And what they're going to do now, Trump's banned, there's actually a restraining order on it now, which Trump said was stupid, and the judicial system is stupid, and judges are stupid. So everybody's stupid other than Donald Trump. So what they're saying is they're seizing U.S. citizens' phones at the border, okay? Are they Muslim? You know they are, all right? But they're seizing these people's phones, and they're American citizens, okay? They went through the process to become American citizens. Now, I am an American citizen, but I'm also from Canada. The people that they're seizing their phones, they went through the same thing I did. They went through the process, and now they're American citizens. And because they look like they do, they're seizing their phones. Now, is that racial profiling? I think that's the epitome of racial profiling. But when you look at it, it's a tough situation when you're just seizing somebody's phone because they're wearing something on their head. Looking in it, they don't have any records. Now, if somebody has a record, okay, and you're from a Muslim country, oh, I get that. But if somebody doesn't have a record, that's getting to me a little much. Now, you're thinking that maybe I'm exaggerating the numbers. More people were stopped in February than all of 2015. So in 1 month, they stopped and seized and harassed more people in February than the whole year of 2015, 12 months. So is this Trump thing good? And there's going to be a time where people ain't going to want to come to the United States anymore if it's that big of a hassle. Do we want that? We don't want anybody coming here? I mean, they're also bringing a lot of dang money with them, you know? It'll come to a point where China's not going to want to come here anymore. And then what? Then we'll be lots of trouble. But, you know, what's crazy is with all this bad, it seems like we are separating each other. And it also seems like we're almost like in Bizarro World, or if anybody saw the Truman Show, I think that Russia is rigging our elections, all of them. They're rigging them. And I think they said, we're going to put a black guy in with a Muslim name, and let's see what happens to the country in 8 years. Okay, so that went down. So the Truman Show is basically somebody moving us around like we're puppets and then seeing what happens, everybody watching us on TV. So I think everybody in Russia is watching us on TV, just like Big Brother, and laughing at us, because after they kind of plugged in Obama, they said, watch who we're going to put in next. We're going to put in Donald Trump, and we're going to make him as ballistic as can be, and let's see what happens. So I just think we're in the middle of a TV show, because when I'm hearing Donald Trump going at Snoop Dogg, this can't be real, can it? Because 20 years ago, if somebody would have said, hey, I looked forward in the future, and I looked at the paper, and President Donald Trump was going at it with Snoop Dogg because of a video, I would say, dude, you are on that crack. And it must be that good crack, too, because, please, that's impossible. What are the odds of that back 20 years ago? What are the odds of that? Zero. And then Lil Bow Wow came in and said, you know, I'll slap your mama and all kind of stuff like that. So we have Lil Bow Wow and Snoop and Donald Trump feuding. Okay, so what is this world coming to? I don't know where I am, and I don't know what to think anymore. And, you know, a lot of people, I was listening to Mike Calter's show and all the other shows, and they were talking about how much respect does the president need. And to me, everybody thinks I have to respect the president because he's president. Aren't you supposed to earn respect? I mean, I'm not going to respect him just because he's the president. What if he was a president and he walks and says, I'm the president, and put a KKK hat on? Do I have to respect him? So you're not built in respect. Like you're supposed to respect policemen, but you're supposed to respect good policemen. So they have to earn that. You don't have to just respect a teacher because they're a teacher. Find out they're a good teacher, then respect them. So I don't have to respect Donald Trump because he's the president. Not in my world anyways. Now, I'm not going to go around and say I'm going to kill him and stuff. That's crazy. I don't want everybody after me. But for Snoop Dogg to do his video, which, by the way, out of all this, Snoop looks, what's that word, brilliant, because you never would have heard of his video Lavender ever, because there's no videos. But because he did this, he put Donald Trump in a clown outfit, okay, and walked up and put a fake gun to his head and said bang, and it came out with the little streamer, said bang, okay? He didn't blow his head off and blood went all over the place, okay? It said bang. So he did that. Nothing's going to happen. No, I mean, what are you going to do? Put Snoop in jail because he did a video and it said bang? That can't happen. So he's not going anywhere, okay? So what's going to happen is everybody is going to go check out this video, okay, Lavender, because of what happened and because of the controversy. So Snoop is brilliant, by the way, okay? And Lil Bow Wow is going to complain about it because nobody talks about Lil Bow Wow, and everybody's been talking about Lil Bow Wow the last couple days. So I heard people talking about he should be arrested, and we should respect the president, and blah, blah, blah. And to me, I'm just amazed that other people are watching and that we're actually dealing with this stuff, and it's real-life stuff. Like, I want to say sometimes, like when the election was happening, I'm just thinking to myself, I hope China's not watching. I hope China's not watching, because if we're supposed to be their main competitor, they're probably like, come watch this. Come look how stupid the Americans are. Or all they got to do is watch like either the election or Maury show. One of those two. And I don't know if anybody's going to think that we're for real. I really don't. So, you know, there's so much crazy stuff going out there with the government. And obviously, we were talking about some sports earlier, and bracketology's come up. I'm going to let you know, I don't indulge. I don't do it. I don't want to care who's going to win between Rhode Island and Valparaiso. I don't give a rat's ass. So I don't want to have to watch and care to win $5 or whatever it's going to be. So I don't do it. I was listening to the news and they said the Pentagon is vulnerable during bracketology because of all the streaming going on. It's good to know that you're telling everybody that, because now we're vulnerable and everybody knows. Now, everybody thinks they're going to do this perfect bracket, all right? Let me give you the numbers, everybody. Your odds to get a perfect bracket is 1 in 9.2 quintillion. That's 18 zeros, all right? And I saw this on Channel 13 today. It might have been a lovely Vanessa Rufus or Jen Epstein. I'm not sure it was. But they were telling me the equivalent of doing that would be, in the sports world, 96 straight pass completions for an NFL quarterback. And I think the record is 25. And that's unheard of. So 96 straight pass completions, 414 straight free throws in a game, 12 at-bats with straight home runs, 12 straight at-bats with home runs. And I think the record might be 3 with that. You ain't going to see it. That ain't going to happen, okay? 85 straight strikes in bowling. That would be like 12 perfect games or something like that in a row. So like I'm saying is, you ain't getting it perfect. I mean, I'm going to watch some of the games. That's all good. Because I love this time of the year when people all of a sudden, it's like the draft to me, bracketology. The draft, when it comes up, all of a sudden people become experts. And you know very well you didn't see University of Vermont play basketball. You didn't know what color they were, and you don't know who they play against. So there's all these so-called experts that come out there, and they're always wrong, except for Obama, who actually was very wrong in his bracketology. And Trump this year just said, I'm above that. I will not do bracketology like the brother that was previous to me. Me and the fellows don't watch basketball. There's too many brothers out there. So, okay, I got that off my chest. I got the government stuff off my chest. And I'm going to switch it up a little bit and bring in my boy Don Pablo, who we're going to talk a little music. And this is kind of like my mentor with, you know, the DJing thing, and starting to pop up with the DJing, enjoying it. And we're going to talk a little music with my boy DJ Don Pablo. Mm-hmm. He's in the building.
Yes, I am.
Is that a DJ saying he's in the building?
Yeah. You know what? I think it is. First I heard it must have been Kid Capri saying that.
Kid Capri.
Love him. I got to work with him when I was... I think I was 18.
I interviewed him one time, and he just seemed like cool people, man.
He is real cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, real cool.
But DJs are pretty easygoing cats, so for the most part.
I've met some that are...
They got stuck-up DJs? Super,
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess some when they reach a certain pinnacle.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, when you're moving, you know, platinum records, I don't know. I mean, some of them are down to earth, but sure. I've met some that are on the flip side of that coin.
But that's every trait. That known the man.
That's
I've met
true.
Some football players that are, what I mean, at the pinnacle. Like, I met Anthony Munoz when I played with Anthony Munoz for a little bit, and he's the best tackle I ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just, He's just the nicest dude. Will help anybody out.
See, that's dope, man.
I love that too.
Yeah, it should
and
be
you
that
meet
way.
Some other cat that's some peon that played for 1 year and he's acting like, you know, he's Big Willie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, dude.
Cut it out, though.
Yeah, you ain't that special. So I've been dabbling a little bit in little DJ work and mm-hmm. I've done a couple little sets here and there. DJ, first of all, what's your real name?
My real name is Paul.
Paul.
Yeah, but I'm Hispanic, okay. And so my family and my friends will refer to me as Pablo, so it's stuck. You know, people usually know more Pauls than they do Pablos.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
And Don in Spanish is a term of endearment. So Don Pablo is just an alias. Yeah.
There you go. So how long have you been in the game, man? I mean, I've been in the game about 6 months. How long in the game you been? How long in DJ? Like, how long have you had like to where you can play a room?
Well, I'm aging myself now. I first learned in 89, and then I started doing, like, high school dances in, like, 92.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, progressed
so
to
you
college.
Ain't young.
And,
you look younger than you are.
Yeah, well,
you look younger than you are. I don't know how old you are, but now you just got older.
Yeah, I did. I got way older.
when you talk about 91, I'm like,
Yeah. You were just drafted.
Yeah,
when
90.
So I was relatively, you know, young at the time.
Well, I get that these days. People say, when did you play for the – when was your first year with the Bucks? And I go, 1990, they're like, damn.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
rocking that creamsicle.
Yeah, right. Way back in the day.
Jerseys.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I know he was in the stands. I know you've
Nah, I was up north, but I was watching. I'm an avid football fan.
Up north where?
I'm originally from New York City.
Okay. Which part?
Queens.
Okay. So you grew up right in the game.
I grew up in the heart of
Like, do you have a choice but to love hip hop music if you're from Queens or Brooklyn or Manhattan? Do you have a choice?
Yeah, nah, not really. I
no
mean,
way.
Cause it takes over the airwaves. You know, and at the time it was Hot 98.7 Kiss FM, and then it went to Hot 97, and those two stations, I mean, those pretty much ran throughout the city. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're talking a listening base of, you know, several million, maybe 2-3 million.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so New York's the birth of hip hop. So you know you got it right from the motherland.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
See, my boy, when I went to junior college in Iowa, gave me a cassette, and to this day I wish I had the cassette because I'm telling you, it was just that would have been in '86. So that was right when everything was popping off, like we're talking about KRS-One and EPMD and Eric B and Rakim and LL Cool J. That was their first joints. You know, Public Enemy. So I got this tape, which was from New Jersey or New York, and he would, you know, back in the day, he used to tape it and put it up against a speaker, you know what I mean? So, but I had these groups, and I didn't know who they were, and finally, a couple years later, when it came out, I finally, like, I didn't even know who half of them were, but all I knew was I'd been listening to that music for a long time, so I was exposed to it. Maybe before a lot of other people were.
Sure.
And so I'm hip hop through and through, bro.
I learned that. But what I love most is not only have you picked this up so fast, but you're an eclectic. So we can talk hip hop, we can talk funk,
That's
we can talk rock.
About. Yep. Yep.
And your musical IQ is great. But
thank you.
Your tenacity. I mean, you have tremendous focus, and you picked it up a lot quicker than what I anticipated.
Okay. Well, you know, you were young when you did, younger.
Sure. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've been through a little bit more. So I've, you know, failed a lot. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I probably, my mindset and my concentration level is probably better than somebody who normally starts at 15 or something
sure.
like that.
Sure, yeah, and I was 13 you know what I mean? With ADD, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly right. You know, tough. And I understand that you're only going to be as good as the time you put in.
Sure.
And that doesn't matter what the hell it is. It doesn't matter. So you talk about rock and roll music.
Right.
Like, I grew up, I want to say maybe more so rock and roll than anything else, because that's what was going on. Okay, I'm 49 years old, so you know, when I was young, we were listening to, you know, Deep Purple and Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin to death.
Sure.
You know, and Van Halen and stuff like that. And then hip hop came, but there wasn't a whole lot of it.
Nah, it was very limited. It was very limited.
No doubt. So who was a rock and roll? I'm a little bit older than you are.
Sure.
Who was a rock and roll when you were growing up with? Who was influencing you?
Well, that's tough, because when I was younger, my stepfather was a road manager for a guy named Leon Russell, who did blues. He wrote for Bruce Hornsby, the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah, he wrote for a lot of people, and he did some Southern rock, so I first listened to him.
Skynyrd?
Yeah, well, and then in the 80s, when I really started getting into hip-hop, I would start looking at the back of the records to see, just because I was curious, and you'd see produced by this person, and then you'd start seeing these samples, and I was curious as to where these samples came from, so then I'd start digging up the rock albums that they derive from. So then I'm like, Rick Rubin, who was producing for Def Jam, a lot of his music when he was producing the Beastie Boys had that feel. So I would go through and then I started Skinner, Pink Floyd, Hall & Oates, you know. You know, so I was all over the map, and that's what I loved about hip-hop is that it was almost like a, for lack of a better term, a gumbo, because it was a fusion of what you hear in the urban areas, but then it was also a mixture of rock and other influences.
Now, what you said, you just said, I think is the difference between millennials and I'm once again a little bit older than you, but people that are older than the millennials, okay? You just said you used to get albums and you used to open them up and read who produced them, then looked up the none of that happens now. Like, here's a song, put it on. Like, you don't even know what album was on.
No clue.
Nothing. Like, back in the day, you get a Led Zeppelin album, you put that Joker on, and you let it roll.
Absolutely.
You listen to every single, you don't stop it. Like, now you're like, I like number four. And you put number four, number four, number four. You don't ever hear number 12.
No.
Like, if you look back in the day when you talk about, like, you know, Gin and Juice and, you know, Dr. Dre and Snoop, when you got to the end of those albums, they were like, the Snoop, one of the last songs is, I'm trying to think of one of the last songs. Was it the Shiznit? I don't know, but there's a song at the end that is like the one of the best songs on the album. Nobody's getting exposed to all people's music anymore.
Not at all. Not at all. And it's unfortunate, too, because part of it's to blame on the labels, because when I first got into radio, we would have to submit our playlists at the end of the night. And the record labels knew your demographic. So if I was in a demographic that was predominantly 18 to 24, they say, okay, well, this record's going to work. Then they reach out to you. And in order for these records to get hot, what they would want to do is, they knew if people just kept hearing the record and hearing it, they just force it upon you.
Absolutely.
The record would gain some legs. It would gain some traction. So they would reach out to us and say, hey, put this in your rotation. I'm like, but this record's garbage. Well, Pablo, we'll get you the newer stuff first. We'll get it to you sooner. And now what they do, they have a science to it. They just, the format is, let's give it a hot beat. Let's give it a hook that everyone will remember. And then essentially the artist is a puppet. It's written for them. Like Britney Spears on one of her albums, she had 22 writers, and she's not hip-hop, but she had 22 writers. And 16 songs. She had no contribution. Her job was just prance around.
And shake her ass.
That's it?
That's it.
And that moves records.
That's a tough example, okay? Because I don't know a more popular, less talented person.
I know.
I mean, seriously, it's all shake ass because, you know.
That's it.
She can't sing live.
Foxy Brown barely wrote any of her stuff.
She can go a little bit, though.
She can go a little bit, but she was Jay-Z wrote a significant portion of her stuff.
Sure. And she had the sexy thing going. Foxy Brown had the
sexy
thing going.
She did, and that was her job, to look good and help move records to that demographic. You know, they had it broken down to a science.
Well, my boy was the bodyguard for, he still is a bodyguard for Justin Timberlake. I believe he's still a bodyguard. And so he had him all the way through NSYNC. And I asked him, I said, who's the baddest girl you've seen in you know, Hollywood? He's seen J-Lo, he's seen them all. He goes, when Britney was young, Britney was the baddest thing he goes he's ever seen.
Pure talent.
Yeah, real talent. Not coming out of her mouth.
Right.
Just talent-wise, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I couldn't imagine going to a Britney Spears concert. Actually, you know, I could. Like, at this point now, I bet there's just hot women everywhere. Because, you know, the ones you grew up listening to Britney Spears
absolutely.
Are 40 now.
Yeah, perfect.
Them the best ones. them the best ones.
Agreed.
Now, you brought up Ricky Rubin, okay? I'm a huge fan of Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why. First of all, I knew he has his roots to the beginning. I know that. And I've seen a couple interviews with him, and he's just real eclectic. It's just eclectic.
That's why you like
deep-headed,
him.
Deep-headed, weed-smoking, you know what I'm saying?
But
then I saw an interview with him, and it was in his house. I don't know if you've ever seen his interview.
I haven't
seen
it.
I'll have to pull it up. But
I'd love to see it.
I've never in my life seen a cooler house ever. Like, I was freezing it and looking around. I go, you gotta be kidding me. Like, he had, like, abacuses and things that I didn't even know what they were. Like, things were teetering. And, like, it'd be in the middle of the interview and all of a sudden this yak would walk by. And I was like...
Dude got yaks in his house, man. I thought he lived in Long Island, but he must have moved somewhere else.
No, you got that much money.
Yeah.
He has long money now.
Yeah, he does.
Like old Beastie Boys money. That's a long time
ago. You know, that album, I think a week or two ago, just became 30 years old. The Beastie Boys' first record.
See, that was an influential. Can I hear people at Beastie Boys suck? I'm like, all right.
You're out of your gourd.
You are out of your gourd.
You are out of your mind.
And listen, I think, but you know who says it usually? Caucasians.
Yeah.
And I hear Caucasian, like, I've never heard a brother say Eminem sucks. He doesn't suck.
Nah, there's no way.
But some Caucasians don't like Eminem. Can't. And I'm like, dude, just listen to the dude. Listen to him. He's brilliant. Brilliant.
That blows my mind. If you listen to his wordplay, I remember the first time I heard him, they had this show in New York City called 89 Tech 9, and Stretch Armstrong, who's a phenomenal DJ.
Remember that name?
And Bobito the Barber. They introduced him, and this is before the Rap Olympics where he got second place, and Stretch would just throw a word at him. He would have to take that word, incorporate it into a flow, and then before he's even done, Stretch says another word, and he takes it, and he just kept going and going and going. So it just proved that he was on the fly, and he was complete improv and true MC.
Yeah, you know? and you talk about other people writing people's stuff. Mm-hmm. And when you hear about people like I hear Jay-Z doesn't write anything down. If you watch the, there was a documentary with Jay-Z, I don't remember what it was called, but it had been his Black Album, there was a documentary on it, and they would show him, and you have to watch this, because as somebody who does beats and DJs, he went to Timberland, and he went to Pharrell, and he went to some other people and trying to get beats, okay? So this is the first time he was hearing these beats. Mm-hmm. And like, he would walk into some people and they play, he would go, that's very simple. He goes, you're wasting my time. Like, he was serious about his, right? So then Timberland came in, and for the first time he heard the Dirt Off Your Shoulder beat, which is nasty. Do, 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 do. So his head started bouncing back and forth. And then Timberland, this is the first time he heard it now, Timberland all of a sudden did this and brushed his shoulder. And then Jay-Z says, open up the studio. And he walks up in it.
Does it on the fly.
And he just starts rapping, and this is the first time he ever heard the beat. And the song is very similar to where it ended up. And I was like, come on, dude. I mean, that's
one
brilliance.
Take. Yeah, and the
that's
fact
brilliance.
That the chorus derived from that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
That's amazing, and that people, their minds can do that. Like, Lil Wayne doesn't, I mean, as much drugs and everything that Lil Wayne takes, he doesn't write anything down. Mm-hmm. How the hell does he remember anything?
That's a great question.
Seriously, I mean, you walk around drinking syrup all day long, and then you can remember what you just thought up a minute ago?
Oh, man.
Like, how do people's minds, I mean, when I did Ron and Ian show one time, I said Lil Wayne is brilliant. Ron goes, what are you talking about? I go, Lil Wayne is brilliant. Okay, I don't care what you think, but anytime you put his voice in something, it's a hit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to say anything.
He doesn't, and it's crazy because people in that industry are judged based upon the way they speak initially. So you have no interest listening to their content unless you're a true hip-hop head, and then you're like, all right. Then you listen to them, you're like, oh, man, this is deep.
Sure, absolutely.
And it really sheds some light on that person, you know?
You know, and once again, I'm not real big on modern hip-hop or any music.
To be honest with you, I'm quite biased. And
for a reason, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me say, the other day, and my kids listen to stuff, and I listen to stuff at the gym, and when the young people put stuff in, listen, it's hot garbage for me.
Absolutely.
It all sounds exactly the same. They're not saying anything. They're not telling a story.
Nope.
There was one rapper I heard the other day, and I was like, who is this? And that doesn't happen very often. And it was Chance the Rapper.
Wow.
Chance the Rapper. I was like, who is this? Yeah, and it made me stop and listen, which is saying something.
He won quite a few awards here recently.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, when people say, well, what about Drake? Drake been around for 15 years.
No, not that. Not yet. But he's
a long time. Yeah. No, it's been a long time.
I mean, he's under 30.
You got to give Drake his due.
He's about to. Oh, yeah.
You got to give Drake his due.
I mean, but I don't view him as a hip-hop artist. I mean, the definition of hip-hop since the inception of it has definitely changed. Before it was like poetry for, you know, urbanites. Mm-hmm. And now it's, you know, I don't know. It's just taken on such a...
I don't know
what
it
morphed,
is either.
It's morphed into something else.
Garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's morphed into just beats and repetition.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, like, when I go back and I listen to a KRS-One song, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, go back and listen to a song, I'm Still Number One.
Absolutely.
He's just
great
talking. Yeah. But it's brilliant. What he's saying is brilliant. Okay?
And it's accurate. He's a philosopher.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's amazing as far as talent, as far as his message, and he stayed true to the game. And he even told you that he wasn't going to sell out. And he told you that years ago.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately,
but what
many
does that mean, selling out?
Well, that definition has also changed, which I'm not against. Like, if LL started doing mumble rap records, I'd retire tomorrow. You know, if he started doing like Little Yachty stuff or KRS did that, I'm like, all right, you know what? My gear is for sale.
I think the word sellout is, it's got to be gone, okay?
Yeah.
Let's get rid of it. Yeah. Because listen, if I'm a certain genre and somebody says, I want you to try this genre and you'll make 10 times more money. Mm-hmm. I don't care what genre it is.
I agree with that. I mean, because originally hip-hop, it usually appealed when it first started to people that were in black. The urban areas, black. And then not only that, came from certain financial backgrounds. Sure. That's what it appealed to. So they milked that demographics for so long. Selling out was someone leaving that and doing a shampoo commercial or diversifying.
You mean making money?
Yeah. Now I'm all for it. I'm like, go ahead. Do your thing.
Yeah, but back in the day, they used to also say, yeah, so-and-so, he left the hood. Who wants to stay in the hood?
Yeah. Well, now, as long as they stay true to the genre, that's all I'm asking. Like, you know, KRS, keep true to that. Keep that sound. Don't. If he started doing, like, Little Uzi records, and then that's selling out to me musically. If he wants to act in a movie.
He wouldn't, though.
No, he wouldn't.
He wouldn't.
But I'm happy for that. He stayed true to his roots, and we need that.
Okay, so are you going to say that Ice Cube isn't staying true to his roots?
No, he is. I mean, he's not doing like little. I mean, he's diversified, but he's not doing.
Which means just making a lot of money.
He's
because he's not even a rapper anymore. He's not. When was the last time you saw Ice Cube rap? It's a long time.
Yeah, he's an actor. Now.
Like he's worth $100 million because he's an actor.
Yeah, I mean, he's diversified. I mean, look at you. You're a brand ambassador.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put myself in the Ice Cube realm, but
on like, a smaller scale.
Yeah, Ice Cube was on Mike Calter's show the other day, and he was like, "Would you shoot somebody?" And Ice Cube goes, "Dude, I got too much money to shoot somebody."
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Though, yeah. What am I going to shoot somebody for?
Yeah, but you know what? Since he's grown, and that's the beauty. Since we've had the ability to see him earlier in his career when he was pumping out, you know. NWA records.
America Most Wanted.
Yeah, you know, and now you got to see him grow as an artist, and now he's morphed into a completely different person, but he's a lot more wise now.
Way more wise. I mean, you have to be, though. You know, you heard about that whole Snoop thing in his video, Lavender. You heard about that?
I caught a glimpse of it. I haven't tuned into it
yet. Well, let me
tell
you what happened. Snoop was brilliant, by the way. Snoop came out with a video, and it's called Lavender. Why, I don't know. But I guess he has a clown who's dressed up like Donald Trump, ironically-ish. And I guess he put a fake gun to his head and pulled the trigger, and it said, bang. Okay? So everybody like, well, you should arrest him and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, it's
like,
cut it out.
Yeah, stop it, dude. Come on.
That's first so of all, dramatic.
Everybody like, oh, you got to respect the president, do you? Do you have to?
I don't think you have to.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, though.
You got to listen, but you don't have to. You just listen to the laws. You don't have to respect the man.
You don't have to really listen to the laws. You just have to not be arrested.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with that.
Okay.
But for some people, that's a hard thing to do.
No, it is. No doubt. But, you know, a lot of people, you don't have to do anything other than just not get arrested and pay your taxes and stay whatever ethnicity you are. You can't change ethnicity.
No, you can't.
Unless Michael Jackson did that. Right. You see that his daughter is white? Isn't that crazy?
I haven't seen recent photos.
You haven't seen Paris?
No.
She is white.
Let's take a look.
Okay, so by the way, Michael Jackson from back in the day when he was in the Jackson 5, when he was
he was all brother then.
He was blacker than me. He had a big booty nose and then he had this sliver of a nose at the end.
Yeah, well, you know what it was? He blamed the skin bleaching on
Villalago.
Yeah, and I'm like,
anyways, yeah. I know people with Villalago. They don't have it all over their whole entire body, by the way.
Yeah, and he must have had a bad case.
If one of my kids came out looking like Paris, me and the wife will have a problem.
I never had a woman. You might be the first. This is his daughter.
Yeah, let's go test that. First of all, you know he didn't put any kind of black people spermatozoa up in that white girl.
Man, he might have borrowed some semen from somebody.
Yeah, of course he did. He probably like Matthew McConaughey's semen or something like
that's
that.
That's her?
That's her. There's nothing black about that girl. Not one feature on her is black. Not one. Not her hair, not her nose, not nothing.
Nah, but look, right there, Michael.
Yeah, but that's after he turned himself into an old white woman.
Yeah, that's true.
That's different. Go back and look at Jackson 5 pictures.
Okay, there's nothing there.
So once again, he looked just like me. And he had a white kid. And he named his kid Blanket. The boy's name was Blanket.
How can you?
What if you get your ass whooped by a guy named Blanket?
Yeah,
you gotta hang him up. Yeah. You gotta hang him up after that. So that's my guy Michael. That we let get away with a lot.
Oh,
we let
man.
Michael get away with a lot, didn't we?
Yeah, come on, we did. You know,
he touched a lot of boys. Lots.
Man, that's so tough for me.
why is that tough?
I know. It's just so crazy.
He's a genius.
The greatest artist of all time was a kiddie toucher.
Was he the greatest artist of all time?
Greatest entertainer of all time.
I'm okay with that.
I'll do entertainer.
I'm going to say greatest artist of all time, Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fair.
That's for me.
No, that's Michael's fair.
That's not a wrong answer.
No.
But I got to give it to Stevie Wonder myself.
I mean, they're definitely on my Mount Rushmore of entertainers.
Stevie Wonder to me, I have two artists, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you don't like these artists, then I won't listen to your musical taste. You doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Right.
But if you say, I don't like Stevie Wonder.
You got to be deaf if you don't like Stevie.
That's what I'm saying, though. When you listen, Stevie makes me cry sometimes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And
like,
they have no soul.
His stuff is that good.
Yeah.
His stuff is that good. And the other one is Bob Marley. If you say, I don't like Bob Marley, I'm going to keep my eye on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my eye. You know what I mean?
I'm watching.
Like, you don't have to be a big Bob Marley fan, but if you don't like him.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
There's something definitely wrong about that whole situation. and we are not going to vibe. In the next 5 minutes, we probably are not going to vibe.
No wonder you and I get along so well.
Yeah, we're good, man. It's all about that Bob Marley vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. On many levels.
It's all good, no doubt. We're hanging out here at Chef Inspired Popcorn, my boy DJ Don Pablo, talking a little music. We were talking a little politics earlier. You're a sports fan?
Absolutely.
Are you a boxing fan?
Yes.
That's wonderful. I love boxing.
I do too.
And now I guess the rumors are coming to fruition with the whole Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather thing. What is your take on if that fight happens?
Well, I mean, that right there is strictly, it's hyped. It's hyped a lot. Assuming they can get, and I was just watching ESPN prior to getting here, and if they were to just box, the odds are obviously in Mayweather's favor. I think it would be good for it would be great entertainment. But is it really going to be true? I mean, is he going to be going because he essentially retired?
Mm-hmm.
And this you can't consider this a boxing match because Conor McGregor is MMA.
But they're boxing.
Yeah, I mean they are
okay,
boxing.
Okay, they're boxing. Okay, listen.
So it would count if he were to lose. Absolutely. He'd be 49-1.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
What does he care about that?
He doesn't.
He doesn't care.
First of all,
he's not going to lose.
I don't think he would. I mean,
no, he's not gonna lose.
Okay,
I don't know.
Conor McGregor can't. If it was MMA, he would tap out. But now because they're boxing, I mean, Floyd has way too much experience. The only thing I'd be concerned with is Mayweather is not good with southpaws.
He will never punch Floyd Mayweather. Conor McGregor has no chance of even punching Floyd Mayweather.
Because of the speed?
Floyd Mayweather, he's going to hit him 20 straight times in his face. And then Conor McGregor's going to have to do something ballistic to get out of that fight. Because he's going to go, gosh darn it, I can't even see the punches coming.
I bit off more than I could chew.
Yeah, no way, okay? Because, you know, I've been in football games before where the other guy across from me was too much. That's happened sometimes.
Sure.
It didn't happen a lot. But he's just going to realize, I'm going to go get my 25, 30 million.
Right.
But this is going to end poorly because great boxers can't hit Floyd Mayweather. Great boxers. And McGregor, if they did MMA, that fight would last no more than a minute and McGregor wins.
It would be a wrap, yeah.
Okay.
And there's a big age gap, too.
It won't go two rounds. Okay. Now, people are going to watch it. Everybody's going to watch it because, and I was saying this yesterday. You can't think of a better matchup, okay, because this is the best matchup in the world. Listen to me closely, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A hated black guy and a loved white guy. There's no better matchup. You've seen Great White Hype, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They made the dude, the Kerry Conklin, they made him fantastic, okay? And just like Rocky and all those kind of things, that's not a joke. You know, one of the biggest grossing fights was Mike Tyson against Peter McNeely. Remember Peter McNeely?
Oh, right when he got out of jail.
Peter McNeely couldn't beat Mike Tyson. They fought 100,000 times. Okay, so that's a great matchup, and people love Conor McGregor. They love him. They love what he's about. He's old school. He just talks trash, and he's going to talk so much trash, and he's going to make people believe he can beat Floyd Mayweather, then he's going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And now, he's going to take his $30 million and go to sleep.
I'm with you. And with a paycheck like that, you know what?
I'll go in there for $30 million.
Yo, beat the hell out of me, dog. Well, beat the hell out of me.
$30 million? I can't imagine what a $30 million ass whooping looks like. Yep, well, I can't imagine
I'm willing to find out.
Give me a month to get myself. If in a month I'm okay, that's worth $30 million.
I have no problem going down in the first minute and a half.
If somebody said, Ian, would you take two concussions right now for $30 million?
Absolutely.
You would have a hammer in my head for $30
million. Yeah.
I'm straight up. That's a big
easy
number.
Sale.
That's a big number, dude.
That's an easy sale.
Actually, you can talk the number down a little bit.
Yeah.
Not quite. $10 million. Probably wrap me in the head with a hammer.
Absolutely.
Once.
Yeah. I'll take it.
I've been hit in the head before.
Yeah, that's not new.
I'm here. It's all good.
It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah. You know, I really actually got into UFC big all of a sudden. Like, I love boxing, okay? Mm-hmm. My boy Keith Thurman won the other day from St. Petersburg. That's my guy. He's, I think he's 29-0 now. But I love boxing, but lately I've been really watching UFC. Like, it's on all the time.
Absolutely.
Okay? So I tape them now, and I go back and watch. This morning before I got here, the Chef Inspired Popcorn, I actually was watching Brock Lesnar against this guy Hunt. Brock Lesnar is a house.
Yeah, he is.
He is a physical freak. Who is his pharmacist?
I don't know, but he's got a good one.
He's got a great pharmacist.
He's, I mean, and he's got, and not only that, the man has a large frame. And when you're when you're on some extra stuff, I mean,
he's got a lot of extra stuff.
Yeah, he could really pack that.
And he moves pretty well. Okay, for people that you know, I get this all the time. Somebody be like a security guard or something, and they'll be a big guy, and they'll say, "Man, I could have made it into the league if I didn't get hurt in high school." You're jumping a lot of stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're a big kid in high school, that's great. But if you think you can make it in the league, it ain't got nothing to do with being big. There's big people all over the place. If Brock Lesnar can't make it in the league, that should tell you how hard it is.
Absolutely.
That's a big, athletic dude.
And they want someone that size.
Yeah.
I mean, he had. I saw some of his stuff when he was trying out for the Vikings. And he had some feet. The guy could move, but he just didn't
have
what
it
takes.
There's more than that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's feel, okay? It's repetition. Mm-hmm. Like, if you give me a big, strong guy that's never played football before, I'll kill him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll kill him because he just doesn't understand the game, you know?
Right. He doesn't know what to look for. Nope.
Football's a lot different than a lot of other sports. And not really, when we're talking in the line, there's a lot to learn. Like, you might be able to get a receiver and put him out there and say, hey, you're fast, whatever, but it's going to take him a while to become a good wide receiver.
Sure.
Like, some sports like basketball. You can get somebody off the street that's never played basketball before, and they still might be okay.
Right. Well, no, they do that now. They who was it recently? A 7-footer they brought over from Africa. The guy.
Oh, they keep on plucking 7-footers from Africa.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Guy started playing ball, I think, when he was 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's, you know, he does his job. He rebounds. He blocks shots. Mm-hmm. And he keep him in the paint.
Yeah.
You know, you can't teach 7 feet.
Sure.
You know, so but he has enough athleticism to carry that.
I saw a kid, and I felt sorry for the damn kid, but I was watching the news on this Channel 13, and they were like, well, there's a 7'9" young kid. And I was like, what?
Oh, the big white dude?
Dude.
Yeah.
His feet, he has size 30 shoes, bro.
That's insane.
30.
That's insane.
But he's 7'9", I think.
Yeah.
He's still growing. He's like, he's 18.
Mm.
But it's not a good 7'9".
No.
It's an awkward, you know, sloth-like, I'm moving real slow 7'9".
He gets hit in that knee, it's a wrap.
So I know Brock Lesnar, as an athlete, is an amazing-looking athlete, and that kind of shows you how hard it is to play in the NFL. I played against Goldberg back in the day.
Oh, wow, that's right.
Before he wrestled. Okay?
Yeah, and
he
who was he on?
Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons, that's right.
And I played against Goldberg, and Goldberg was terrible.
Yeah?
He was a terrible football
player. Did you get up in him?
Yeah, I got up in his grill. I got up in his grill a little bit. Yeah,
Take that, Goldberg.
So when he turned into this, you know, vicious, you know, wrestler.
Maybe that's your rite of passage. Maybe you should go in the ring.
Now? Are you kidding me? You think I'm going to walk up and jump off that turnbuckle now? Are you kidding me? Hell no. Hell no. That's not going to happen anytime soon. I've seen wrestlers, and football's stupid. Wrestling is ignorant.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling, they're beat up. I saw Hulk Hogan 20 years ago. He was beat up 20 years ago.
Mm.
And they're all dead by, what, 45?
Yeah, and they all have just major pain issues. And
you hear a lot of coke and you hear a lot of painkillers.
Yeah.
And those aren't good.
No. Nope.
Okay?
Especially when you bring those worlds together.
Yeah. And then,
that can't be good.
And unfortunately for McMahon, I hear a lot of underground homosexuality too.
Oh, really?
You don't hear that? I've heard it.
I haven't been privy to it, but yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, you know, it's not my world, so, yeah. You know.
Wow.
I heard they don't even care if it's your world, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no.
Interesting.
I'm good.
That's crazy for a company that went publicly traded a few years
right?
ago.
They don't care.
Yeah.
As long as you're making that money.
Yeah, well, his stock's plummeted since.
Is it plummeted since?
Oh, yeah. Let's look that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know they opened up. Man, I can't believe that's Michael Jackson's daughter.
Right? She looks good, right?
Man, that's, oh,
I'm
man.
Telling you. She's, but you know, she, if you're Michael Jackson's daughter, you know.
There is no brother DNA.
Your life is, nope. You know your life is tough, though. You know your life's tough, though. When you go back and you know you're going to Google your father and everything. You can't stop her from knowing that.
Oh, and the stuff she must hear.
That's what I mean, though.
Oh,
I mean, that's not
man.
Good. No. So, and just being a Jackson's daughter to begin with has to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm sure she's going to be comfortable the rest of her life, but there's not enough money in the world that's going to make you that comfortable.
Yeah, but she's going to have some issues, some deep-rooted issues.
Of course she does.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, Michael himself, I don't know if there has been anybody on Earth with more deep-rooted issues than Michael Jackson. If you really go back and look at it, because he went through the metamorphosis. You heard how crazy his father was and this
sure.
and that. He was demanding, and then he just kept on going. And somebody should have said, Mike, stop. Stop.
$20 a share.
That's not bad.
Not
there
bad.
You go.
Well, and not only that, I'm not a shrink. My sister is. I should probably consult her for this. But my assessment was when he was younger, he didn't really have a childhood. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds like I am. He didn't really have a childhood. And so, I mean, maybe that's why he had Neverland Ranch, you know?
Yeah, but okay, I understand that. I understand he didn't have a childhood, so he still acts like a child. That's fine.
To some degree, but
okay, and listen, I think I still act like a child in a lot of ways.
I'm immature, but I'm not going to
lay up in the bed with
yeah,
no little kid
nah.
and talk about this is cool. Because you know what? If my 8-year-old boy, I don't, okay, say you were babysitting my 8-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to come up in the house and you're laying in the bed
no,
with my boy.
I'd be fighting the King of Pop.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So, but then you hear some of the stories that he was giving his credit card to some of these parents so they can go out shopping while they leave their little boys over. And you know, and listen, once again, he's gone. May he rest in peace. But he was really preying on sick people, too. A lot of them are sick.
Wow.
You know, so I just, anyways, that's the old King of Pop and he's gone. And that's it. You know, don't mess with that. Now, you know, I'm here with DJ Don Pablo at Chef Inspired Popcorn, 11 o'clock, which is about an hour from now. We're going to start dabbling and tasting some of these popcorns.
Zero
you know
issues
what I mean?
With that.
You have no issues with that?
Zero issues with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I brought, I bring some home, and like I always say, I'm just going to take a little bit and not eat like in.
Yeah, right.
Like
leave
in
here with
night
a few,
time, I swear
few
to God,
keys of
like,
it.
Like the Dignitary popcorn, you eat two handfuls. You have to finish the whole bag.
Yeah.
It's like crack, bro.
Yeah.
And you want a cocktail after that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe I just always want a cocktail.
Or a combination. Yeah, I mean,
definitely
I'm
with
you.
You.
I've had it. The Dignitary's nice. It has like a nice little kick to it.
Yeah.
And it washes down well with a brew.
With a brew.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And they always have the popular green apple, and they got stuff.
That's
like
amazing. That's cinnamon. One of my favorites. And then the fruit one over there that.
The salted caramel is good as well.
The fruit cup. I haven't had
it.
Oh, no, I had the salted caramel.
There you go.
The green apple was amazing, though.
No doubt. Well, this weekend, we're actually, are you going to be with the show this
weekend?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, well, we have to travel a little bit this weekend.
Yeah, we're in Ybor.
We're in Sarasota.
Oh, we're in Sarasota. That's right, okay.
Absolutely. So we, the Ian Beckel Show always pops up in a beautiful restaurant or establishment. We're going to be at the Oak and Stone in Sarasota this weekend. My girl Tracy Freeman from Edible Sarasota. Hook the whole thing up. Tajay Armstrong is going to be there as well.
Perfect.
And Travis Jennings, the finance concierge, is going to be as well. So if you live in the Sarasota area, you're going to be at the Oak and Stone on Sunday from 11 to 1. We'll be hanging out over there. Now, June 30th is the date of the next Dignitary Party. Do you have that available? We'd like DJ Don Pablo to be part of it.
Absolutely,
okay.
I'll be a part of
okay.
it.
Okay, because we doing big, big things.
Man.
For real.
I can't wait to hear.
No,
I can't wait
dude,
to.
Dude, we're doing to do big, big things, man. I mean, we're going to have, it's going to be a Dignitary Summer Bash. We're going to do it at the Mahaffey. We're going to have upstairs, downstairs, the atrium area.
Wow.
We're going to get maybe 8 or 9 fantastic restaurants, things like Chef Inspired Popcorn representing over there.
Perfect.
And we just getting the big willies over there, man.
And What day is that on?
That's June. That's a Friday, June 30th.
Okay.
So we're featuring. I met with Budweiser yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're going to be featuring a bunch of local craft beer as well.
Very nice.
And just local stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And local music. Pitbull Toddler's going to be playing. Get a bunch of some reggae. Yes. You know what I mean? Going to have some country, and we'll have a little of everything. You know
Perfect.
What I mean?
Perfect.
So that's...
I'm looking forward to that.
Have you ever been to one of our parties?
Well, I did the one at the Hard Rock, the last one, which was...
You did the last Dignitary party?
That was a Dignitary party.
The Christmas one, though. You don't mean the big... Did you do the big Dignitary party with Eric Darius playing? You didn't do that
one? No.
That one was legendary.
No, we were at the Hard Rock upstairs. Mm-hmm. That was real dope. We were at... What restaurants upstairs that we... Upstairs. You had like a little jazzy feel.
Oh, you're talking about on the side of Ocean Council Oak.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was my boy Jazz, Fred Johnson. Was
and
playing.
Then I DJed, was it the Christmas one I DJed?
Probably the Christmas one, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Those were smaller Dignitary parties, yeah. Although a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Not this one.
Oh, really?
I can't wait.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
The next day is my birthday, so. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, July 1st.
Yeah.
That'll be a good
That's what I'm talking about. What's going to be nice is going to be the Friday really going into the 4th of July weekend.
Perfect.
So we can start getting it in on Friday,
yep.
And don't stop till like Wednesday.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Uber.
How does that work though? I think it's the 30th is on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 4th is on Tuesday. So do you get the 4th off, or do you get the 3rd off?
Depends. Well, you definitely get the 4th off. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you work for a place if you're in
the 4th is automatic. You get off.
Yeah, the 4th, the majority of places you have off.
Okay.
So hopefully the place has a soul, and they give you off on Monday, too.
Which place has a soul? Anybody you know?
Not many.
That's what I'm saying.
Not in the corporate world. Now, if you have some sick days, you know, maybe you could pull a mulligan that Monday.
Sure.
You're like, oh, I'm not feeling well.
You know, things piss me off that I hear during the week, and sometimes I shouldn't watch the media. I shouldn't watch the news. I get pissed off.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, sometimes. But it's, you know, obviously it's informational. We need to know what's going on in our world. But this has pissed me off when I heard this. They said that the federal government, they had that northeastern storm that just happened.
Sure.
And when a northeastern storm happens, that means it's going to be 60 here. Boo, so terrible.
Oh, no.
I'm really enjoying this weather, by the
so
way.
Am I.
I'm really loving this weather.
I love the change.
Everybody's like, I walk around in shorts anyway. Oh, aren't you cold? No, I'm from the tundra, yo. You know what I mean?
They have no concept
have
of
no,
cold.
No doubt. But I heard that the federal government, they came out and they said, there's going to be, oh my God, it's a travel advisory. Wow. There's going to be 2 feet of snow.
Mm-hmm.
Then they found out they made a mistake.
Sure.
And then they thought it was only going to be 6 or 7 inches of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that the day before. And they didn't let anybody know. Like, in this day and age of, you know, small businesses and, you know how many people close down their doors for nothing?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, and you know what? I honestly feel, and now that as I've gotten older, I feel that they manipulate. They use the news to keep people in fear, to keep people against each other. For example, like back in the day, they had War of the Worlds, and they were broadcasting it. That should have been the first time they realized. And the guy was essentially reading a book. It was Orson Welles.
Right.
And people thought UFOs were coming. People were literally killing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The media probably were like, wow, this is pretty powerful.
Yep.
So now they can lead you by fear. You know, hey, it's going to snow. It's going to snow. Well, then people are going to the markets and, you know, they're buying out Walmart. There's no bread on the shelves.
Isn't that crazy?
And 2 inches came.
But it just seems like nobody's telling us the truth anymore.
Ever.
And when I'm sitting there looking at our president that I'm supposed to be respecting, when I'm watching him speak,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, somebody will say, well, hey, President Trump, what about this? And he'll be like, that's not true. It actually is true. It's not a whether it's true or false or whatever. It's these are facts.
Mm-hmm.
This is. He says, no, that didn't happen. It did happen. And I can tell you 50 different situations. Oh, that's fake news. It's documented. And it's to the point now where, you know, I was listening to them talking about the whole, you know, the health care and Obamacare, and now it's Trump care and stuff like that. And the number was 14 million people are going to lose their health coverage by 2018. And it had this really funny face. You know, God, I just look like you would ever trust. Okay, this is, I don't know what his name was, but all the politicians look like you would never trust them.
Absolutely.
Okay, that guy's answering the questions. They were like, well, what about, you know, 14 million other people losing their coverage? Well, in the other regime, and then Matt Lauer's like, okay, can you please answer the question? Well, in Obamacare, no, answer the dang question.
Mm-hmm.
They don't answer any questions.
They don't.
They never tell you the truth. And it's to the point now where I think their roles are to lie. That's
absolutely
it.
Well, and not only that, they have to protect their agenda. They have money coming in from lobbyists, so you know they have to kind of.
Yeah, they're all puppets. Yeah, they are.
They're all puppets. It's unfortunate, you know. And not only that, what sucks is it, back in the day, you had 160-some news outlets. Now we get our news from, I think, three or four resources because they're all conglomerates. So we're all, and they're all Associated Press, so we're all getting spoon-fed the same stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. Just like every time we're going to vote, every time it's a voting year, there's a Zika virus or Ebola or, mm-hmm. you know, and the people that vote, they stay in. They want to stay away from that crap, you know?
And then you find out that $2 billion were put in the Zika virus, and then next year you're never going to hear of Zika virus again.
At all.
So what happens to the Zika virus? Well, you put $2 billion
look at AIDS. The U.S. owns a patent for the cure of AIDS.
No, why is that? That's not documented, is it?
Yeah. They own the patent.
I've heard that, though.
I mean, it's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're rich, you get it. If you're not rich, you don't get it.
I mean, Magic earned his name somehow.
Yeah, he really did. He really did. Jesus. And this whole thing, man,
it's crazy.
I'm telling you, our world is crazy. When I'm watching the news, I don't know what to think anymore.
I watch the news when I'm down and out because then I don't feel so bad. Because then I see other scenarios and situations, and I'm like,
but
you know what? Maybe my life's not so bad.
It's still our country, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
like, it is.
It's happening in our country, and you know, we talk about how great it is, and it is better than other countries as far as I hear.
Sure.
I've not been everywhere. But just looking at the way this whole thing is, you know, unfolding,
mm-hmm.
I think in 10 years we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Like every year it seems like race relations get worse.
Yep.
The relations between the government and media are at an all-time low right now.
Well, I feel like they're almost trying to incite a civil war amongst ourselves.
I think we might be in the middle of one.
Yeah.
I really do, and it's unfortunate, and I don't think you could have had two worst back-to-back presidents if you really think about being divisive.
Oh,
you know?
Man. From two different walks of life and two different thought processes. I mean, it's it's a major contrast. I'm just hoping that these next 4 years aren't as detrimental as I feel they're going to be. I hope that we do have some growth somehow.
Sure.
In the economy and in equality. But, you know, we could wish.
We could wish all we want, okay? Yeah. I'm just, you know, like I say, I'm a realist, and I'm just kind of sitting back, and I just think somebody thinks they're going to snap their finger and everything's going to be all right.
Never.
But there's some people still think there's no problems out there.
Wow.
But it does, like...
They're oblivious.
You know, but, you know, I think we're oblivious to a lot of things, though, because when I wake up in the morning, every morning, and we do live in Florida, therefore, every crazy person from up north drives to Florida. And they stay here and they live here.
Okay? I'm one of them.
Well, me too. Me too. So
that's right.
We have more crazies in Florida than any other state.
That's true.
But every morning I wake up and there's almost automatic hit and run.
Mm-hmm.
There's an automatic DUI death.
Always.
And I'm thinking, we're spending all this money and time trying to get marijuana off the streets. And let's think about, okay, if I'm in Congress and I'm, you know, I'm in the government, okay? Mm-hmm. Local. You know what I'm saying to myself? Let's forget about pulling somebody over with a joint in a car.
Sure.
Okay, that's just costing us money and it's ridiculous. Let's try this. Let's put an officer at every drinking establishment in town from when they're open. If it's 9 to 3, let's put an officer right there at their front door.
They'll lose business.
Exactly. But I understand that. But are we worried too much more about the business? Or you worry about somebody's going to go kill somebody. If you're trying to deter people from driving, mm-hmm. you can't get them after they've been driving, okay? Get them before. Let them be scared mm-hmm. before they get in their car. Because we don't really care. Because the number of people that are dying is crazy from alcohol-related driving. And I know people that drink and drive all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I know numerous people, mm-hmm. and nobody really cares.
Until something happens.
Well, that's late, though.
Yeah, it's too late.
Like, you know, I know a lot of bartenders, and I like to sit in a bar, and I like to hang out, mm-hmm. and people always say this, well, a bartender's not supposed to serve somebody a drink when they're drunk.
Cut it out.
How many bars you been to? How many bars you been to, and what does a guy or girl have to be doing to not get a drink? They got to be either asleep or they've been grabbing somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know?
Yeah, and I think I outdid myself a couple, you know, a few months ago. But it happens. And, yeah.
It won't be the last.
No, well.
It'll be the last time. No, it won't.
It'll be a rare occasion.
Okay, but, rare is good, but not the last.
But, like, for example, and this is what blows my mind, is for Hillsborough County, I know they were fighting Uber for a long time, and my personal thought process on it is, I know there's a taxi commission. I honestly feel it was because the city, they generate so much revenue, because I personally have had a DUI, and I see how they could financially extort you for that. But the city lost a lot of revenue because here's a more cost-effective and efficient way to get to and from home.
Okay.
And so the city was fighting it. That they shouldn't do. It creates jobs.
You think that's why they're fighting it?
Absolutely.
Is a shame, isn't it?
Or maybe the taxi commission, they have some money in the politicians' pockets. But you know what? Here's the fact of the matter is that your system has been around taxis, and it's archaic. It's feast or famine. People want something quicker, faster, and less expensive.
Yep.
And Uber was able to do that. For example, if you looked at this Forks Over Knives, which is a documentary where they did a 20-year study.
I've seen it.
And cancer, here the process here, the mental thought is, they've always told you and they've schooled you, embedded this on your brain, chemo, pills.
Yep.
Chemo has a 3% success rate. When they took people off of chemotherapy and they put them on a plant-based diet and light exercise, the numbers were staggering. And this is a 20-year study. And the numbers were staggering. So capitalism kind of has a little too much influence in certain areas, and it shouldn't in insurance and healthcare or education. Those are God-given rights, or whoever your God may be. But those are something we should all be entitled to, and it shouldn't be swayed by capitalism, in my opinion.
Well, that's well said, first of all. And I've always said this. You know, we always think our president is good or bad, and the president is just making decisions for money, okay? You know what's a good – you know what would be a good thing? This would be a good thing. Ban cigarettes.
Absolutely.
Who could tell me – I understand it's un-American.
Sure.
If we're trying to do what's good for our country
– sure.
Ban cigarettes.
Sure.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's just real talk, you know?
Yep.
So we're not – we don't really care, because all these decisions that are being made by cigarettes and alcohol.
Sure.
And oil and anybody else that has ridiculous amounts of money and who's running our country. And our politicians, when it's all over, and I'm not – omitting anybody. I'm not omitting. Trump might be the exception because he already got that loot. But Obama, any minute now, is going to start doing these speaking engagements at, you know, OPEC and all these different places. They're going to give him $5 and $10 million.
Too.
Oh, my God.
He's
going to make so much damn money. Well, the book is fine, but those kickback money is about to happen. Okay.
Yep.
That's happened throughout the days, and it's never going to stop. Maybe your boy Trump ends it, because he may not. Like, people want to hear Donald Trump speak. They want to hear him speak. I don't think that's something that
it's just like
really
Howard Stern. People only wanted to hear him speak because they wanted to hear what was next.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to see what kind of buffoonery
Once he's out of office, though, I don't know if anybody really wants to hear Donald Trump speak again after that.
Probably not.
What I'm saying? Like
only a certain niche audience is going to want to
hear.
Yeah,
I don't hang out with them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to.
But no, if we want change, you know, and it's not everyone thinks it's the president. Yeah, the president has a major hand on it, but what about the legislative? What about the senators and the congressmen that are in there 20, 30 years?
I mean,
you can't expect change when you have the same faces for 20, 30 years.
Well, the thing is, the faces don't care about what we think, or they don't really care.
They don't.
They don't, because, you know, when you look a guy in the face and you go, we're going to lose 14 million people are going to lose health care. Well, no, and so he's trying to explain to us why it's better. I mean, so
who picks up that bill?
There is a right and wrong, okay?
Right.
There's, you know, so in this situation, say in this situation you get $200, and in this situation you get $100. You're going to take the $200. Don't explain to me why the $100 is better. You see what I'm saying? That's what's happening right now.
Sure.
We're losing health care, and they quoted to say everybody is going to have health care. So then did you lie?
Just poked holes in your own logic.
That's what I'm saying.
14 million people are going to lose it.
And they say 24 million people by 10 years from now.
That's,
24 million people that had it.
That's scary.
That's a lot of freaking people.
So
what's that going to do to our economy and just our existence in general? Okay, because, you know, being from Canada, I saw, the healthcare there and how everybody thinks it's great. It's not that great. But we're going to be... substantially worse than that as we go forward. And all the government's talking about is it's going to save us money.
Well, Canada has free health care.
Well, it's free, but nothing is free.
Sure.
So if you blow your knee out here, I would like to believe within a week you can get a surgery. If you blow your knee out in Canada, it might take 6 months.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
It might take 6 months for a doctor to be open and have time for you to get in.
That makes sense because an older gentleman, because there's a lot of people that flock down here from Canada seasonally, and I met an older gentleman that he said the same thing. He needed surgery, but he had to wait entirely too long in Canada. And he flew
to
Florida.
And paid for it.
He had to pay through the nose.
That's what I'm saying.
But he physically got what he needed.
So that's not free then, is it?
There's a trade-off. Now, there's always a trade-off, I guess.
Dude, my mom was sick in the hospital, and they brought her in the emergency room, and that was just kind of in the wide open.
Sure.
And so that night, I left her. She was in the emergency room. I came back in the morning. She's still in the emergency room. I'm like, excuse me, nurse, when is she going to get a room? Oh, we don't have any rooms available right now, or we're looking to see what we can do. She was in the emergency room in the hallway for 5 days.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
For 5 days?
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Are you
ridiculous.
Kidding me? Like, everybody's walking by her, and I'm like, you just got to be somewhere else to put her. You got to come on, seriously.
Yeah.
So that's not free.
No, it's not.
And then they finally bring her up to her room, and then I see a doctor on Monday, and I'm like, hey, when can I talk to you now? He's like, I'll be back on Friday.
What?
I'm like, dude, I'm only in town for 3 days, and you're coming twice a week. Like, there's no soap in the room. You have to bring your own soap. You have to bring your own toilet paper. You have to bring your own everything. So nothing's free, bro.
No, nothing's free.
So, you just don't get sick.
Jeez.
That's the thing. Don't get sick around here. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
now, before I got here, I actually was eating breakfast at Daily Eats right over here. My boy Jeff Gigante opens. I got beautiful breakfast. Mm. And I got my workout in the morning. Mm. And I was at Punchology this morning. My boy Paul Simpson puts myself and my wife to probably the craziest workout I do every week. Mm-hmm. You ever do boxing?
That I haven't done yet. As of recent, I've been doing plyometrics with Titan Trainers. Mm-hmm. And
now explain to me what the plyometric is. I mean, is it just...
It's a very blue-collar kind of workout where we'll take heavy sledgehammers, mm-hmm. and then you have to pound out these big-ass like tractor-trailer tires. Mm-hmm. And you got to pound him. And then from there, he'll have us do some cardio. It depends on what we're working.
So circuit training.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, we'll do everything from I have a buddy that I go with, and we'll toss a 18-pound medicine ball over this partition.
Beautiful.
We have to catch it, and he works our core. So he hears what your goals are, but, and I told him I want to trim down and bulk up a little bit, and I've lost several inches. I mean, but it's brutal. I work out for 30 minutes, and I get more in those 30 minutes than I do when I'm by myself an hour and a half.
You don't have to work out an hour and a half. You don't have to work out for an hour and a half. You really don't. Just get your heart going for 30 minutes to 60 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We don't rest in between. We don't rest in between.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he has us get on the elliptical machine first, not the elliptical, treadmill first. Yeah. Get our heart rate up. We're on there for 5 minutes, and then boom, 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 boom. This exercise, that exercise, and he focuses. Like, I've hurt in places I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, I'm pretty darn sore. I felt like I got hit by a truck last night when I was
asleep. You look good, though, man.
You're getting some good cardio in. I got a little ways to go, but I got a thing I like to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, me too.
I like to eat, and that's
me too.
That becomes a problem sometimes, especially when I come by here. And actually, popcorn's... It's a healthy food. Now, not if you eat as much as I'm eating.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the doctor suggests you eat like a bag and a half. But sometimes that can happen.
Now,
you said you lost 26 pounds. Like, what's your mentality for your diet? I mean, you talk about plant-based. You didn't go vegan, did you?
No, I don't have the testicular fortitude
me
or
neither.
The discipline.
I tried.
You tried it for like
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I remember
I
you
like,
telling
you know
me.
What, then
I remember
I need some meat.
When you said that, I just heard the pin drop.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? This guy eats more carcass than anyone I know.
I've done it before, and it's I can do it for a little bit. You feel good. It's just not me, though.
Nah, not at all.
It's hard to eat. It's hard to order.
I need substance. Like, I can't. And not only that, with a vegan, you have to be very educated as far as, because you can't even think about an animal
place
fat.
Yeah, you can't eat anything.
Oh,
there's butter in that. And I'm like, the butter's good, though. I like butter.
Please.
Butter's good.
I mean, I try to watch what hours, especially when I'm gigging, if I'm DJing and I'm getting in at 3:30, that's not time to, to fire up the grill. Mm-hmm. The grill, maybe chicken breast, but you got to watch what you eat and when. So I try to stay disciplined there, and then this cat stays on top of me. Jim from Titan Trainers is on top of his stuff, and I mean, it's worked for me. It's working for my buddy, and I've seen it work for quite a few people. So
beautiful. DJ yeah. Don Pablo hanging out at Chef Inspired Popcorn. And like I said before, he's like my Yoda or Mr. Miyagi as far as the DJing goes. And I got a long way to go. I'm still learning how to scratch. I'm kind of getting that.
Yeah, we
got to
work on some more of that.
Yeah, that's I got to work on a lot of that, actually. And I see you, and you look so natural in there. And I could do some things naturally. Mm-hmm. That's not natural to me yet. You know what I mean? Hopefully that's coming.
It's you know what? It was years of practice and frustration. And honestly, I still need to work on some of my scratches because now there's so much more technical. There's two-click flares,
craziness.
And crabs, and transforms, and I'll show
off. I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking
about.
One day
I'll sit down, I'll show you some video, and
I'm not ready for the complicated video yet. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm still in 101.
Right.
You know, the complicated video is going to make me depressed. Like, I see people doing some things sometimes DJ-wise, and it kind of blows my mind because I know what they're doing.
Sure.
And I know how complex it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have to, like, the count's got to be unbelievable in your head.
Absolutely. Timing is everything. And, you know, now if you can pick up the pitch of the record, if you understand the key, and now you have software, I'll tell you that, but I was picking up keys earlier. It's a lot easier to mix. So there's ways. You don't have to be a scratch DJ. It adds a nice visual element
to it.
Sure,
yeah, yeah. I think that's the main thing. Visually, it's kind of cool to have your head to the side and do a little scratch like that. You know what I mean? Look, it makes you look like you know what you're doing a little
bit. Well, and the audience, too, when they see it and they hear it, and they're like, oh, okay. You know, we're working with some hit. What we need to do is and big up to Casper and Lesage and Fader, in Crowbar every Sunday in Ybor, they have Old Dirty Sundays, and it's where just the rawest DJs come together, and they'll fly in and act. You know, they brought in DJ Scratch. It's a Sunday night, so we'd have to prep. And this weekend's a good weekend. I believe they have Rich Medina from Philadelphia. I got to double check. But
what time does it start?
Don't quote me on this. I believe it's around 9.
Okay.
And that's
so late.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
That's so past my bedtime.
I know. But if you took a power nap and you went and saw it, not only that, but they incorporate all genres of music. So you'll have B-Boys out front and DJ Scratch, who's produced millions of records, toured around the world, is one of the rawest DJs I've ever seen. There's people in front of him in a breakdance circle, just getting it on. There's a guy on the roof, and he's doing graffiti on a mural.
See, that's what I'm talking
about.
They
got food, and they capture all the elements. You know, they got, and the DJ might go into some rock. You don't know what you're going to get. He might go into some funk. And then when you're there, they take you on a journey and almost educate you as far as music. So to see it, all those elements take place and to coexist under one roof is an amazing experience.
So, what do they call it? Dirty Sundays?
Old Dirty Sundays. And it's every single Sunday, and it's in Ybor at the Crowbar. It's an amazing event. It's normally free unless they're doing something. The DMCs, that's coming up in April. You want to see that? That's when the best DJs get together, and then they battle it out, and then one DJ from each city or each region. You win the region, then you go on to nationals, and they hold a national somewhere. And then that person goes against the winner of other countries. So
really?
You have one person that wins the U.S., and then he battles against the other DJs around the world that won.
Wow.
And you get one world winner.
See, now, on that June 30th event in Mahaffey, I'm trying to bring some funk that other people aren't bringing.
Okay.
Like, I know, like, the Old Dirty Sundays, that sounds like, you know, something I would love.
Hell yeah.
But it also sounds like something that South Tampa's never seen. Because most of the people at the party are going to be South Tampa, upper echelon muckety mucks. You see what I'm saying?
For what?
For
June 30th?
For Mahaffey.
Sure.
Because this is my mentality, okay, for an event. I want to just have rock the house for whatever amount of 2 hours, whatever, and just blow people's minds. Like, I'm talking about ballerinas. I'm talking about people with castanets. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about step shows. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about hip hop. It doesn't matter what it is.
You know, sure.
That's the whole nine yards. And that whole thing with the B-boys and, you know, the art and stuff, to me, that's hot.
Yeah, but to them it wouldn't be. But here's what, June 30th, and I'll just throw this out there. I've done a four turntable set with other DJs before. We can do maybe rock and funk, and I could set up a DJ beside me, a turntablist, and we can just go back and forth and just cater to.
Hot.
We could do rock, funk. We could cater to that audience.
Sure.
We're not limited to as far as our selection.
Well, we need to sit down because I know Greg Wolf and Blaze from Street Lace.
Absolutely,
we got to get them involved, and I want to find out. like, I want everybody to show off, okay? So
okay.
When the DJs are going off, we have Street Lace, you know, flashing on the screens.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's going off.
We're doing it huge.
Massive, my friend. I'm talking about massive this time. This
one is excited.
This one's the one.
All right.
This one's the one. When people leave this one, they just give me the number. They're like, next time you have a party, let me be the first one on the list.
It is on.
This one is the one.
It is on.
No doubt about that. Anyway, DJ Don Pablo, you can check him out. What is your Instagram and all that kind of stuff?
Ooh, what is my Instagram? I believe it's at DJ Don Pablo 1200.
There you go.
As in the turntable. And then, or you could just, I mean, I'm not being pompous. You can Google me. But it is DJ Don Pablo 1200. Same with Twitter. DJ Don Pablo 1200.
Excellent. And social media wise, we all live through social media.
Absolutely.
I am at Ian Beckles, and this is wonderful because we're sitting here at Chef Inspired Popcorn. And what we're going to do is we're going to bring the owner, Lizette Rivera, up and have her talk about some of the new things she has going on, and let us indulge in some of these new popcorns that they have going on here.
Perfect.
You ready to roll?
Yeah, I'm ready to do some quality assurance.
Let's do it. All right, we have the owner of my favorite popcorn joint. I believe the only real popcorn joint in the Tampa area is Chef Inspired Popcorn. We have Lizette in the house. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Now, I'm probably one of the very few people that have had just about everything in this place. And you put something else in front of me. What flavor am I eating right
this
here?
This is our new chili lime popcorn.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
Wow.
We get a lot of requests for spice, a lot of hot and spicy. So this was, you know, I'm trying to move in that area. I'm a savory girl. I love my savory popcorn.
Me too.
But it's hard for me with spices. But it's, it's requested.
Well, I love spice, by the way. And I would definitely order
that
one.
Yeah, yeah. That one's good.
So I'm a savory person as well. Okay. So, but I love your green apple. I can eat a little bit. Like, I can eat a whole bag of Dignitary popcorn.
Yeah.
I can only eat a little bit of the green apple, which is fantastic. You know what I mean? Which is your best-selling savory popcorn?
The best-selling savory, I think that garlic sriracha probably is now our best-selling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're rivaling it.
I'm getting close.
You're getting close. People are actually coming in here for Dignitary popcorn.
I'm so excited about that. I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't looking for it, but now you gave it to me.
I'm giving it
I'll take
you.
It's
really, people are coming in here and they're asking for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how often do you guys invent new flavors? I know you guys are thinking them up at night, staying up.
It's crazy.
You know, how often do you have new flavors come in here?
I would say every other week, we probably bring out 2 and 3 new flavors.
And what are the new? I think Pot of Gold, I haven't seen that one yet, have I?
Pot of Gold is a caramel popcorn, and it is covered with our delicious cheddar. So it gives it like this gold look. And we got St. Patrick's Day coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We have some Irish cream.
That's
pretty good.
Good stuff. And I had the chocolate ones I like too, the double fudge brownie. But there was one that was up here. I can't remember which one it was, maybe. It could have been the French toast. I'm not sure, but I think my favorite popcorn might be the jerk pop.
Lately, is great.
It is fantastic. I'm more of a savory, spicy type person. Now, what inspired you to open up a popcorn shop? Because, like, once again, I think popcorn is probably a bigger deal if you go up north.
Yes.
I'm thinking Ohio area is probably big.
Ohio, Chicago.
Yeah.
Big. About 3-4 years ago, I got sick. I came back from a trip. I didn't know it was wrong. They diagnosed me with celiac. And so I was looking for a snack. My daughter and I always made popcorn at home. So initially I thought, maybe, the spices that I create for my at-home popcorn, I'll do something with that. And, my daughter was like, no, Mom, you really need to do something with the popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And I took to a softball game, made a couple flavors, and it was just a big hit.
Yeah, sure.
And, my mom was going through cancer at the time, and, she really inspired me to just do it. She's like, you should have always become an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And, I was a single mom at the time. It's really hard, and I just took the leap.
And your daughter's quite the softball player.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
If you don't find me here at the shop, I am traveling with softball and popcorn.
And you love you're enjoying it.
I love it.
You enjoy it.
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm not even gonna lie.
No, you're not. I mean, you can't hide that.
No.
Because listen, I had three kids myself, and I watched them grow up and play sports, and that was the most fun I ever had.
It's a lot of fun, but I tell you, these girls are athletes and they train. And it's a lot of work.
Sure, absolutely.
It is a lot of work, and we're looking at a big travel summer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be in Colorado.
Nice.
Be in Atlanta.
Nice.
And it looks like I probably will be in Seattle.
Well, they're
for
good,
a camp.
Good cities.
So, look,
great
I'm not,
cities.
Yes,
no,
they're
yeah.
great cities.
They could put you in the middle of Iowa. See how fun that one would be.
No.
I've been in the middle of Iowa. It's definitely a tough situation. So what's the future of Chef Inspired Popcorn? What's the future of this place? I can see you popping up in malls and anywhere
airport.
In the airport.
Yes.
Are you in the airport for sure?
Yes.
See, that's
going to
be big.
We are definitely in talks with that. Mm-hmm. We had our governor in here one day, and that was actually kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat and talked to me. He was super nice.
Sure.
Talked to me about, his childhood and his mother with the donut shop and, mm-hmm. What were we doing to get into the airport? And I, looked at my partner and I'm like, what are we doing to get into the airport?
No doubt.
So if you're familiar with Vegas Airport, Atlanta, they have popcorn shops.
Mm-hmm.
So we missed the first round of bids. Big expansion.
Yep. Came on through,
Came through. So we missed the first round, but, that's the goal. I'd love to have a second shop, mm-hmm. which will probably be in the Sundial area in St. Pete.
Okay.
That's my goal.
Okay.
I love that area. And, getting into some of the hotels in the area that are more family friendly.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So
if anybody has a hotel out there or establishments that want the fabulous popcorn, I don't know why anybody would make their own popcorn. You guys just make it better. You make it better.
I think so.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I know so because I've made popcorn at home and it ain't the same. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
And it does. I have to ask you the caloric value. Not like I'm counting all the time, but is there a big difference in the caloric value of the savory to the sweet?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's more calories in the sweet
one. There's more calories in the sweet ones. I don't want to say it's, any more than a bag of Skittles.
Okay.
They're candy coated.
Sure. Yeah. But and Skittles are not, they have no nutritional value in Skittles.
But the popcorn does.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Well, Lizette, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the malls and in the airports and all over the place. And we're here in South Tampa on Howard. For some reason, I can just see in the crystal ball, I can see you popping up somewhere else in the South Tampa area soon. I don't know why. Maybe that's just intuition or something
maybe.
That.
Maybe. Do you know something I don't know?
I don't know. Maybe I do know something you don't know, but I definitely see your brand expanding, and I hope to expand with you guys. It's a wonderful product.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Good stuff. You guys are in the area here in Howard. It's the old Hugo's building right next to the Green Lemon and Daily Eats and everything else here on Howard and my old gym, Extreme, which right across the street, which is now some very beautiful high-rise condos, which I believe is owned by Jeffrey Vinnick, along with every other building in the Bay Area. So, but that's a wonderful thing. So it's been wonderful. Flavor in your ear, come once a week. Taping here Thursday morning, and you'll be listening to it on Friday morning. Next week, we don't know where we're going to pop up, but I'm guaranteed there'll be some wonderful food around. If you have a chance, come and stop by here, Chef Inspired Popcorn, and definitely want to tune in every week to Flavor in Year. This is Ian Beckles. Everybody have a wonderful week and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out dignitaryradio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here is that flavor. Flavor, bringing that flavor, flavor.
Chef Brian Duffy here. I've got a new show called Duffified Live that's unlike anything you've ever heard. Each week, I'm going to be talking to some of my friends, some people I've never even met before. We're going to be talking about people that I meet on the road through some of my experiences. We're talking about restaurants, talking about great stories, great guests, wild adventures, the whole nine yards. Get Duffified Live with me, Chef Brian Duffy, each week on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.